We started a series of messages on things not to be ignorant of. You know, the title of it is, If Any Man Be Ignorant. That was part one. Today is, If Any Man Be Ignorant, part two. Okay. Again, last week, and the continuation should be, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're told in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14 and verse 38, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You want to be ignorant? A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. If they won't accept what God's word says, they're going to continue in their ignorance. And we gave you last week the definition of ignorance. That's want, absence, or destitution of knowledge. Our Bible tells us, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The negative state of mind which has not been instructed in arts, literature, or science, or has not been informed of facts. Ignorance in general can be general or it may be limited to a particular subject. Definition of the word ignorant, destitute of knowledge. I like these uns, okay? Uninstructed, uninformed, untaught, and unenlightened, okay? And many times it's unwilling to be taught, informed, enlightened, and instructed. Tonight, the second message that we're going to see, things not to be ignorant of. Again, the title is, If Any Man Be Ignorant, Part 2. And this is the second message on things not to be ignorant of. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 11. It's the next place in our Bibles from our first text in Romans 1. In Romans chapter 11, we'll start at verse 25. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, tells us, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. It's concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, in whom be glory forever and ever. This is one of seven New Testament mysteries that are mentioned in your Bible. I'm not preaching on the mysteries tonight, so I'm not going to give you all seven. But here we have, it's a mystery of the way God is dealing with Israel after the cross and after the resurrection. Okay, you know it's Israel. We're going to see that in a minute when I'm going to have you go to chapter 10 of Romans. You see, because it says, you know, I want you to know the blindness is temporary. It's temporary. I'm going to help you understand how false doctrine comes out of people claiming promises for Israel. But it's a temporary blindness. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. We're going to read through verse 9. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Now, who is it for? Israel. Gee, that's not hard, is it? That they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a what? Zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. You see, it's faith that we preach, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we use the passage so many times that we go and we want to lead someone to the Lord, you know, and we take him to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, none righteous, no, not one, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. We look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we take him to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we jump back to Romans 5, 8 and tell a lost person, but God commendeth his love towards you, towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then take him to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then we take him to Romans chapter 10. But the primary context is God dealing with who? It starts right off with Israel. Okay? And he goes into what general salvation is, because Israel went about trying to establish their own righteousness of the law. And we're told also that the law was a what? Schoolmaster to teach us and to bring us to Christ. Because if you keep the whole law and offend in one point, ye are what? Guilty of it all. So for me, on a personal level, you've got to be very careful what you do when you condemn somebody else, thinking you're better than them. Because God says sin is sin. Amen? So it's a temporary thing, and I want you to see at the end of Romans chapter 10, I'm trying to keep the time frame on this, I cannot do this justice in a half hour. If we're looking at the mystery, I would take you to 30 to 40 verses to drive this point home if I was teaching in an institute, and it would not be done, and I guarantee you it wasn't done in 1 week down at PBI, okay? And any of the Bible Institute that I went in was in. It's not done that quickly. You go over so many things to see this. But I'm going to give you some. But you look at the end of Romans chapter 10, start at verse 19. And he says, but I say, did not Israel know? You know what the truth is? They knew but rejected. The difference between knowledge and wisdom. But I say, did not Israel know? For first Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah, again, first we got Moses talking, we'll look at those verses, and then in Isaiah is very bold and saith, I found them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. We're going to look at those Old Testament verses. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. They're blind. They are without excuse, because you don't have to use the New Testament. They don't have to have the book of Romans to know what God tells them is going to take place. Okay, I watched a video this week, what they call shorts, on YouTube, and it showed Ben Shapiro being interviewed by, the MMA guy, Joe Rogan. And he asked him questions about what he believes is Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is a prophet? Because Rogan is starting to search. He's not saved, okay? Starting to search. And again, Ben Shapiro, very conservative. So many people, they live and die on what Ben Shapiro says. And he goes, he's not even a prophet. He was a political person who tried to bring about a revolt in Israel and was killed for it. He's a conservative. We would agree with him with thing after thing after thing politically in America, and he's as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. Okay. What does he have? He's a very religious Jew. He has zeal, but not according to knowledge. And, of course, he had a problem again with a lady that they removed from their broadcast. And if you want to know the background of that, ask afterwards. Because in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, try to establish their own righteousness." I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Put a marker here in Romans chapter 11. We're coming back to it. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Israel's sin and God's prophecy about it, you're going to know God said this was what's going to happen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, when it talked about Moses, this is a reference to what Moses was speaking, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 32, and let's go to verse 15. "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." And we're told that the rock that followed them was Christ. Moses struck the rock, was to be a picture of the crucifixion. Then he was told to speak to the rock, the way we approach him in prayer, and he struck it again, and that cost Moses the ability to go into the promised land with his people. "When he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God." What do you think the golden calf was? "To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not." They come out of the bottomless pit. Okay? Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And the Lord saw it. He abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They thought they could come through works. "They have moved me to jealousy, which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." That's not a reference to a literal physical nation. I want you to think about this. Don't have to agree with me. You want to prove me wrong? Study it out. I believe that's a reference to believers, because we got saved by the foolishness of preaching, and we are the children of God. Okay, so it's a foolish nation, so he's going to provoke them. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 65. We'll only look at a couple of the verses there. Start it, and I know I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence, but I didn't want to read all the way down to verse 5. Okay? Isaiah 65 and verse 1. "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts." See, now turn back to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 1. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? The context of chapter 10 was Israel. Okay? So that's who he's talking about. You can see it here. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. It says, God forbid, he hasn't tossed away the Jews. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What? What ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That's when he was kind of hiding on a side of a mountain, and he heard a still small voice. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, them at this present time, even so then at this present time, also there is a what? A remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. I don't want you confused with unconditional election involved here. What you have in the Old Testament, Israel is called Israel mine elect. But what you have is Israelites, Jewish people as individuals, receiving Jesus Christ as their Messiah and Savior. And they've come to Christ the same way we do, and they're part of the election because they obtained it and the rest were blinded. But God made promises to the nation of Israel. According as written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. See, God set aside Israel as a nation because of their unbelief, and the promises are going to come to them, the fulfillment of them, as a nation. When the gospel was first preached, it was preached to Jews, wasn't it? Do you understand what's taking place when you look at the book of Acts? It's a transition. They went to the Jews. Individual Jews accepted Christ as their Savior and Messiah. The Jewish people, because they went to the synagogue first to preach. You can find that over and over again in the book of Acts. And when they refused them, in multiple places you find the apostles, Paul especially, saying, you don't want to hear it? I go to the Gentiles. And finally, he goes to the Gentiles. You understand, the Jews rejected Jesus as their Messiah. He was crucified. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures to provide salvation to all who would accept him and believe. But it started with Jerusalem and it went forward from there. They go to the synagogues because Jews had been spread all over the known world at that time, and they preached to the Jews, showing them from the Old Testament what the Jews should have already seen, and preaching to them Jesus as a fulfillment of that. And when they rejected him, they went to the Gentiles. Do you know, when Stephen was stoned, he was preaching that message to them. And before he died, he looked and saw a vision of heaven. And what did he see? Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father in glory, looking to see if his chosen ones, God the Father's chosen ones, are going to receive him. Every place after that, you know what we hear about Jesus? He is what? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Because the door closed for the nation to come to Christ. But God didn't do away with their promises. It closed at that time. And that's why you see in our text, when it says until the fulfillment of the Gentiles come in, we're going to read, okay, in a second. But in Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 47, you find him saying, I go to the Gentiles. Acts 18:6, he goes to the Gentiles. In Acts 10, you see the vision that Peter had of the Gentiles getting in on it. Paul wanted and would go to the Gentiles. He'd go to the synagogues. He'd be rejected. But individuals would receive Christ as Savior. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 7. Again, I told you, the election is those Jews who receive Jesus. And then they tell us, back in our opening text, for verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part happened to who? Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in." Okay? He's gone. There is three types of people in this world according to God's word in the New Testament. What are they? The Jews, the Gentiles, all non-Jewish unbelievers, no matter what religion they have, and the church of God, made up of all those who've accepted Christ as Savior. Three types of people. Okay? And so what we have here is blindness came apart to the Jews till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The gospel has gotten preached. Now I want you to understand something. You want to see where corruption comes from? When they reject Jesus as God the Son, they reject Him being co-equal to Father, and then also, I got saved out of a church that basically teaches that God's done with Israel and the Roman Catholic Church has replaced them. That's the background of their doctrine. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church, teaches that God is done with Israel and they're basically the new Israel. The Jehovah Witnesses teach that they've replaced Israel. So amongst so-called Christian, because they all have something to do with Christ, religions, when you try to usurp and to take the promises of God given to Israel alone, you end up with false doctrine. When you take the blood out, you get false doctrine. When you deny the deity of Christ, you get false doctrine. And one of the greatest false doctrines, do you know how many churches around this country, so-called, not of those sects that I just talked about, but churches that once preached salvation in Jesus Christ alone, are against Israel today? All over this nation and around this world. They are the most persecuted people on the face of this planet, bar none. Each of those churches that claim the promises for Israel, they make salvation by works. They go hand in hand. Why? Because when you replace Israel, you've got to adopt what Israel believed in the Old Testament, and they thought salvation was by works. That's why Jewish people are some of the hardest people to witness to, because they're so very self-righteous. Because they know in their heart they are God's chosen people. God told them so. I want you to see, and we're going to finish up here, I want you to see God's promises to Israel. You ready? Go to Hebrews chapter 8. We're just going to look at some verses. Hebrews chapter 8. Like I said, I can't go over this to thoroughly show every verse that brings out certain things that we're looking at tonight. But I want you to whet your appetite. I want you to understand that you shouldn't be ignorant of this mystery that God has not done with Israel. Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 8. "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember what? No more. Okay, turn to the second to the last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah. There's a bunch of stuff going on in the book of Zechariah. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you, go ask Pastor Kenny. Some things fairly easy to know. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, starting at verse 6. Thus said the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people, in these days should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. God brought them back, didn't he? And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for a man, nor any hire for a beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, see, the remnant, the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass, as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Is he going to be a blessing? Because the promise given to Abraham was, I will bless them that bless thee, and curses them that curses thee. And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again I have thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. Go to Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 9 says, and it shall come to pass in, watch it when you see a phrase in your Bible, that day. Okay? Pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David, because they have the sure mercies of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. All of the families that remain, every family apart and their wives apart. That's that remnant. It's all of Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. All the families that remain, go to Isaiah 59. When Jesus came the first time and he claimed before Abraham was I am, and those who were accepting him, believing him, they were looking for him to be their Messiah. They were looking for him who was to be the Redeemer of the nation of Israel. Okay? even to the standpoint in Luke 24, verse 21, as he was talking to those on the Emmaus Road, at one point they said, they told Jesus, they didn't know who he was yet, they said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Okay? They were looking for their Redeemer. Isaiah 59, verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. They were looking for their Redeemer. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, and we will close. The mystery that blindness has come in part to Israel. Do I believe that Israel's handled everything perfectly? No. But I know they are in war. And when war, innocents get hurt. But do you know that those Egyptians, those Arabians, those Syrians, those Iranians, those Iraqians that are trying to tell us that they're Palestinians because there is no Palestinian people. Okay. Those people believe that they should have Palestine from the river to the sea. No Israel. They want them gone. Hamas chose to build hospitals over the top of the tunnels to make it so that what? They don't care about the people in those hospitals. Those are the ones who murdered those people. Not only did they murder and still have hostages of Israel and attack them, when the Gazians, if you talk to those, when they had free course to come back and forth, they didn't hate the Israeli people. But they were being pushed to go against them. It's also part of their religion. And you know, it's like the difference between, I can remember my great uncle when I got saved, he says, you know, you're a Catholic. And the Catholics teach, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And he goes, but you're a no good Catholic. And I said, amen. But I am a Catholic. I'm just not a Roman Catholic. Because the word Catholic refers to a universal church. So you can tell, when you tell me, are you a Catholic? Yeah, I'm the right kind of Catholic. I'm part of the body of Christ, the universal church of the believers. That's just extra. That wasn't my message. Jeremiah 31, look at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. See what was quoted in our text we read? And with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant they made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after what? Those days. Saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Be not ignorant. Don't be ignorant of the mystery that blindness has come in part to Israel. I keep praying that the fullness of the Gentiles would be done. Okay? I don't know when the last soul is going to get saved. God knows. I know I have a responsibility to continue to warn and to witness until that happens. And then I'm going out of this place because I'm part of a foolish nation as far as the world is concerned. I am a citizen of a far better country. But in being that, we need to understand, while we're here, God will bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse them that curse Israel, because he never breaks his covenants with them. He fulfills them and brings them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.